paranoid old man.
Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want to read three scriptures, first of all, and then go to the book that we are to consider tonight. I told you some of these things. I have it worked out in almost completeness tonight. So in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we have what the Lord Jesus Christ said is the most important commandment in the Word of God. He was asked that in the Gospels and in Mark chapter 12. What is the first and great commandment? And so look at Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6 at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. So now, look at chapter 30. Chapter 30, the command is to love. Verse 6, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. That's essential for us to understand this commandment of God. Now, Exodus 20, and then we'll get to the book that we want to consider tonight. Exodus 20, look at verse 6. God pays back those that hate him, but it says in verse 6, he shows mercy or loving kindness unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. All right, now that I've read those verses, turn to the book of Psalms. Turn to the book of Psalms, because the message tonight is the love of God and the things of God in the book of Psalms. What I will do is, I never use notes, but for the sake of facility, I have them here, but I'll give you the 13 references in which the love of God and the things of God are found, and you will have them then, and it will be on the tape, and you won't have to worry. It's found in chapter 5, chapter 18, chapter 26, chapter 31, chapter 40, chapter 45, chapter 69, chapter 70, chapter 91, chapter 97, chapter 116, chapter 119, and 145. In each one of these psalms, you have a reference to the love of God and to the thing of God. Because if I were trying to tell you about the love of God throughout the whole of the Old Testament, it would be too much. Even now, it is going to be difficult. But I will show you how you go about studying a subject, and the first thing you do is to gather all the material. And that is what I did in the book of Psalms, as well as look at the other references in Deuteronomy and in Exodus and in Joshua and so forth. But to show you, I gathered all of this information from the book of Psalms, which verses we shall consider in the Psalms that I read. And having gathered it all, you understand that the main subject is love. What then? Having gathered all the information, first you have to define what we're talking about, and then you have to categorize what you're talking about, then you have to analyze what you're talking about, and then you're prepared to interpret what you are talking about. Those things are essential, because so many people read a portion of God's Word, and what they have read is true, but when it's put in conjunction with all the other references, its meaning is modified or completely changed. So these are references, and what is so interesting about these 13 references is about the love of God and the love of the things of God. And of these 13 references, there is only one person who ever says to the Lord, I love thee, O Lord. And that man is David. Another says that I love the Lord, but notice, you see the difference? They're both talking about loving the Lord, but one says, I love thee, O Lord. The other one says, I love the Lord. That's in 116. In Psalm 91, these words are quoted concerning our Savior. Because he, the Lord Jesus, has set his love upon him. Now you say, this is remarkable. Here is one person who, in speaking of the love of God, tells God personally, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. And here is another one in Psalm 116, who is not named, and he says, I love the Lord because he heareth my voice and my supplications. He tells you that he loves the Lord, but he doesn't tell the Lord he loves him. But what is best is in Psalm 91, it is not anyone telling the Lord that he loves him, but it is the Lord saying, here is someone who does love me. That's the difference. There are many people who say they love the Lord, but how many of those that say they love the Lord will God say, that man loves me? Concerning Abraham, it says, shall I hide from Abraham that which I am about to do, seeing that he shall become a great nation and he shall train up his household the way that they should go. So it's one thing for you to say that you love the Lord, but it may be a lie. If a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. You may be a liar. You may have pious thoughts and emotions and pray with eloquence and then turn and rebuke your brother unjustly. The Bible says, if a man doesn't love his brother, how can he love God? So it's impossible. So when it speaks about loving God, there are many who say they love God, but there are few who actually love God. But I'm going to tell you one of the most thrilling scriptures in the entire Bible, and I read it to you. It says in Romans chapter 1 that men are haters of God. And it says also in Titus that we were filled with hate. And so here is mankind, hating God, filled with hate. So how many people do you think there are that love God? That's why I read you Exodus 20. Listen to this. It says, showing mercy unto thousands that love me. You see how thrilling that is? God says, you don't know them, but there are thousands that love me. Now that is thrilling, because most of the people I see do not love God. They take his name in vain. They disregard God. They have seen him small in a small way. But God says, the thousands that love me. Do you remember when we are talking about how few love God and how few are devoted to God, that Elijah told God, he said, the whole nation of Israel has forsaken you, and I am the only one that's left. And God says, oh no. He said, I have 7,000 that you don't know anything about. They've never bowed the knee to Baal. You see the thousands? And God says in Exodus, not only those thousands in Elijah's day that Elijah knew nothing about, but God said, I show mercy and loving kindness to thousands of them that love me. And so in this world, child of God, this world that is filled with God haters and those whose hearts are filled with hate, God says, there are thousands in the world who love me. And listen to this verse in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 3. Having said this, if any man thinketh he knoweth anything, he knoweth not yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, he is known of God. You realize that if you actually love God, he knows it. That's most important. You think you're forgotten. God understands all of the psalmists who have spoken of their love for him and the things that pertain to him. And God says, I know every one of them. There's not a human being in the most distant part of civilization that loves God in a way that is not fully enlightened as we do. But if that man loves God, as it says in Acts chapter 10, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is acceptable to him. And there was one named Cornelius of another nation, and he feared God and worked righteousness, and God said, he's acceptable to me. He knows those that are seeking his salvation, and he knows those that have his salvation, and he knows those that love him. That is one of the most precious portions in the Word of God, and I'm going to show you something else. As numerically, we are told, thousands that love me. It can also be translated this way in Exodus 20 and in Deuteronomy 5, showing mercy upon thousands of generations of them that love me. Now, what is the difference? In the first instance, it's numerical. Thousands that love me. But then thousands of generations, that is chronological. There are thousands that love him in this generation. And thank God in the next generation, they're going to be thousands. And in the next generation, and when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again, there's still so few, there are going to be thousands that love him. So let's take to heart those scriptures that say, Master, are there few that are saved? And the Lord said, not few that are saved, many are lost. Let's not forget that there are few that are saved, but those few amount to thousands, and they're saved in every generation. So what generation am I from when Peter first preached in Acts chapter 2? You figure out the generations, and God still has thousands that love him. All right, I wanted to show you that. Now, here is what I will read to you to show you the various areas of love in the book of Psalms. Now listen to this. Let them that love thy name be joyful in thee. And so some do not love God directly, but they are taken up with the name of God. And then Psalm 18, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. Now, notice the ones that love God personally. Thee, I love thee. 26 says, I love the habitation of the house, the place where thy glory dwelleth. Notice, some love the name of God, some love God himself, some speak of the love of the house of God. You see why I had to say the love of God and the things of God in the book of Psalms? Now, in 40, it says, let such as love thy salvation. And then, in 45, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. And then, you find these various things that are loved by the people of God, and some of them are taken up with various aspects of God. The house that he had Solomon to build, the tabernacle that he had Moses to build, and some are taken up with the name of God. In fact, you all knew Brother Rose, and he wrote book after book after book on what? The name of God. Why did he write about God? He wrote about the name of God, because it says, as thy name is, so art thou. When a man is taken up with the name of God, it is a description of what God is, his character. For instance, the Lord Jesus is called Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. He is called Emmanuel. He's called Jesus. And each one of those names reveals to us something of the nature, something of the office, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there are some who are interested in the name of God. Now, there are some that are interested in the house of God. I don't know how many messages I have given. I remember that a dear brother of mine that preaches said that he had written so many messages on the tabernacle of God, and he had never had an opportunity to preach them. And I said, I have written 50 messages on the tabernacle of God, and I have preached them. And so I have loved the place where God dwelleth. This tabernacle on earth, because it is a picture of his dwelling place in heaven. And so some love the house of God, the dwelling place of God. And God purposely in the tabernacle and in the temple in the Old Testament tell us about this place. It says, everything speaketh glory. And so some are taken up with the dwelling place of God, and some are taken up with the salvation of God. Tell me, is the book of Romans taken up with God or the salvation of God? Or the salvation of God, you see? And so it's not that Paul doesn't love God, but there are some things that are so fascinating to individuals. And at times it is the name of God, at times the house of God, at times the salvation of God, at times the righteousness of God. And so in this book of Psalms, we have in these chapters that I've told you all of these things. Now, let me show you how some of them refer to God himself, but not as directly as David in Psalm 18. I love thee, O Lord, my strength. And I'll tell you about that little change that I gave you there too. It says this. I love the Lord because he hears my voice. Notice, I love the Lord. That is the Lord himself. Ye that love the Lord, that's the Lord himself. Because he set his love upon me, that's the Lord himself. O love the Lord, all ye his saints. I love thee. You see, some are talking about God himself. And some of them are taken up with God himself. As it says in 1 John, I write unto you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. Some are taken up with God himself. They want to be lost in God. They would love it, if possible, as on the Mount of Transfiguration, to have that cloud that depicted the presence of God to overshadow them, and never have that cloud to be taken away from them. That is what they would love. And so some love God, and some love his works, some love his salvation. All right, here is something that was of great interest. There are tenses in the Hebrew and in the Greek, and even though they are not able to give them to you in their fullness in a translation like the King James or the 1901, yet they have additional truths contained in them, and I'm going to tell you two of them now. And you have sung it, but haven't realized it. Joy to the Lord, joy to the world, the Lord what? Is come, has come. But it says, he is come. That means he has come, and he's here now. And that's what the past tense is in the Greek. It is something that has happened in the past, and the effects continue. Now, what is so remarkable about Psalm 18, verse 1 is this. In your King James, it correctly translates, I will love thee, O Lord, my God. But as the perfect means, I have loved you and do love you. This future tense in the Hebrew means, I love you now and I shall love you in the future as well. Now that's beautiful. I checked this. And one of the Hebrew scholars put that down. The other simply translated, I love thee, O Lord. Why? Because it's not that I'm going to love you, I don't love you today. And so, shall they put down, I shall love you, O Lord? Or shall they put down, I love you, Lord? And so he said, what it means is this, I love you today, and I'm going to love you the rest of my life. I wonder if you can give that testimony to God. Can you? I wonder if you can say, I love you today, Lord. At times, God is going to ask you that question, and you may have to answer it. Remember how he asked Simon Peter, when Peter had boasted about his great devotion to the Lord, and then he denied him three times? And so the Lord, in John chapter 21, said, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And so the Lord asked him pointedly, and I wonder, truthfully, If in secrecy God said, do you love me? And you're not able to deceive the Lord Jesus, and you're not able to deceive God, could you say, yes, Lord, you know that I love you? And you have to say that. It says this, if any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. You have to love the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to love the Father. And the Son says, if you do not love me, you do not love the Father. If you do not know me, you do not know the Father. And so Peter was asked, do you love me? And finally, when it was reduced to this, well then, Simon, son of John, do you have devotion? Do you have fondness toward me? And he said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And the Savior accepted his confession, even in that near sinful condition from which he had just escaped. The Lord accepted that confession, and he said to him, all right then, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Here is what I found, that if you love the Lord, it says this in the Psalms, you that love the Lord, hate evil. If you love me, hate evil. And that's why I read you from Psalm 45. It says concerning one person in Psalm 45, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. And you find out that that's the Lord Jesus Christ from Hebrews chapter 1. Oh, and by the way, of these Psalms, another way to categorize them is this, to pick out the ones that are Messianic Psalms. And, for instance, 40 is a Messianic Psalm. 48 is a Messianic Psalm. 91 is a Messianic Psalm. 97 is a Messianic Psalm. And so 69 is a Messianic Psalm. So you look in those and see the special reference to the utterances of Jesus Christ if the whole Psalm refers to him. And that is why in Psalm 45 it says, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Because here is one that is doing what has been exhorted to be done in other Psalms. Now, I wonder if ever in your lifetime, when you've been giving exhortations to the people of God, if you have given this exhortation, I'm tonight exhorting you and preaching and telling you to love God. Have you ever heard a message, an exhortation on loving God? You say, well, I've heard it referred to, but listen, this is what it says. It says, ye that fear the Lord, hate evil, and it says this in our chapter 31, oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. So here is one that is an exhorter, and we are told to exhort one another. And one of the areas in which we are to exhort is to love the Lord. The Savior himself does that in Revelation chapter 2. He looks at the church at Ephesus, and he tells all the excellent things that they have in their behalf, to their credit, and then he says, but I have somewhat against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. And so he says, repent and do the first works. The Lord Jesus is exhorting them there to love God. And that's what we need to do, because it says in the coming day, and that coming day may be very near, it says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of the many shall wax cold. And if that is so, then what we need to do is to exhort one another like this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the custom, the manner of some is, so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so we need exhortation to constantly love the Lord. Now, I want to tell you this. Of these references to loving the Lord, there are three distinct Hebrew words that are translated to love the Lord. Two of them are very rare words, and one of them is the usual word. The word that you have in Psalm 18 is the word rakam. And of all things, it means compassion, and it means to cherish. the word, the etymology of the word is womb, because in the womb cherishes the fetus. And therefore, the resultant meaning of that word is to cherish, to have compassion. And it's translated in this instance, I love the Lord. And so the special help concerning Psalm 18 is to love the Lord, to cherish, to have compassion. You say it's so strange. It was so strange that it had to be explained. That is why. And the other one is in Psalm 91 concerning the love of the Lord Jesus for the Father. It is Hashak, which means to cling to delight in, and it's translated, because he has set his love upon me, and then all the rest of the references are the simple word I have, and you know the meaning of that word. It says that, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, the love of Abraham for Isaac, and it says that Jacob loved Rachel. And so it's that kind of love. But at the same time, so often we're rebuked for using it incorrectly. We say, oh, I love watermelon, or I love steak, or well, the very thing is said about Isaac, that he loved his son venison. And so it was used back then as now. But it's the ordinary word. And so, and all these other references, it's the word I have, I love. So here are all of these references in the Psalms about loving, loving God, loving the things of God. Now, why, if God is everything that we read about him to be in the scriptures, why should we ever have to be told, exhorted to love God? I didn't tell you. But in the book of Deuteronomy, after chapter 6, there are no less than 10 references that tell us to love God. They have to tell us to love God 10 times after he's delivered us slaves from Egypt, from bondage, given us an inheritance, and yet constantly they are told to love God. And this is the first and great commandment. So even though we have loved God initially, that is why the exhortations are given. And just this now, you say you love God, then you are to hate iniquity. But I'm afraid we do not hate iniquity. It says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. When is the last time you reproved some unfruitful work of darkness? I've seen it, and I felt guilty. Just a week or two back, I was sitting in the barber shop, waiting my turn, and here these people were cursing, and one of them took the Lord's name in vain. Now, I wonder how many of us would have courage to stand up and say, God will not hold you guilty if you take his name in vain. That the Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And what it says here is that we are to love righteousness and hate iniquity. And it says, you that love the Lord, hate evil. But I'm afraid that we've built up a tolerance for evil. Concerning divorce, concerning premarital sex, concerning adultery, well, we live in a different age now. And therefore, we look upon these things differently. The command of God is, if you love me, then you are to hate evil. You are to love righteousness and hate iniquity. And that is why the Lord Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. Why? Because he loved righteousness and he hated iniquity. And these are some of the things that God tells us about love and the things of God in the book of Psalms. So love is salvation. If you love his salvation, you have to say continually, the Lord be magnified. When is the last time you said, the Lord be magnified? Well, we could say, praise the Lord, but it said, say it continually. And so you go through all of these songs that I've given you and look at them in detail. And when you do, you'll see how important the love of God and the things of God is in the scriptures. Now, what time is it, Brother Garn? All right, then, let's pray. Now, Father, we do thank you for all that thou dost tell us about love. Our Father, to think that there are thousands that love you, let us examine our hearts and see if we are among those that love you. And if we can be counted among those that love you, let us see if our love has waxed cold, and let us see if we've left our first love, our God,
And let us repent and do the first work. And let us remember that you are the one that we are to love first of all. To love the Lord our God with all our being. And then to love you, Lord Jesus, as well. For the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given unto us. And so let that Spirit of God work upon our hearts that we might love. We read that scripture, I will circumcise thy heart to love. And that is what you must do. We love because you first loved us, our God. And so revive us again and work in our hearts that we might love thee and we might love the people of God and love righteousness and thy salvation and thy house and thy word. We pray thee, O God, that we may be those that are lovers of God and the things of God. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.